Okay.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's peace and blessings be upon you, inshallah. Today, inshallah, we're going to discuss or focus on one concept, and that is using the language of empathy before the language of intellect. Basically, putting emotion before what makes sense. Okay? And it's not something easy, because usually you always tend to do like, oh, you did this. Normally, this is what I would have to react, you know? So, and of course I'm talking in general with your family, but specifically with our children. To love your child without thinking or analyzing, to love your child just because he or she is your child. Okay, and it's not something easy to do, again, as I'm saying, but we'll try to kind of walk ourselves through it, inshallah. And let's start our journey tonight with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his language of empathy with children and with people in general, and how his language of empathy was much more effective than many other ways with the entire humanity, not just with people. And imagine if we use this way with our children, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. It's a magic key, a magic stick that can do miracles with your child. Just like Moses' stick, what did it do? It turned the land into sea, and it turned the sea into a mountain, right? Yay, Samah is here too tonight. All right. I'll wait for her till it comes, I'm sorry. We just started, don't worry. You didn't miss much. We just started. Oh my God, so good to see you. Guys, I don't know Samah. Of course you guys, Samah has a teacher with us at Nurul Iman. She's a very good close friend as well. All right, so we're talking today that we're talking about dealing with children and how we're going to start using the language of empathy, putting it ahead of the language of intellect or thinking or analyzing what our kids do and just loving them because they're our kids, all right? So, and we said basically it's like a magic stick, just like that of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, how it, you know, turned, we said, the land into sea and it turned the sea into two mountains, right? The magic stick or wand that will be the cause of your child to return to your arms and to your embrace. It's that of empathy and love, okay? And not just your children, but your whole family, when you use it with your whole family. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ remedied everything with empathy. There was a man in Medina and his name was Zahir, and he was known to be very tough, aggressive and dry, okay? Just like a lot of our own children are, or actually how we think they are, you know? Flat face with no expression. Now sometimes you feel something like they're just, you can't like penetrate, like they're just, you don't know what to do with them, you know? And you think that's how they are. They're not really like that, okay? No emotions on the external, all right? So Zahir was that type of person, and the companions knew he was like that. And they didn't like to deal with him. They just kind of kept their distance from Zahir. So look what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to do. Zahir was once standing in the market. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from behind and he hugged him. You know when you come from behind somebody and you put your hand on their eyes and you're like, you know, like who are you? You know, like, okay, I'm not going to let my hand go. No, I'm going to let you guess, kind of thing. So basically Zahir said, who is this? Let me go. He's very tough. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do like we would do and keep on like just, you know, being annoying and keep just holding him. Like usually we all just like, I'm not going to tell you. You have to guess, figure out whose hand it is. So basically the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did what? He opened his hands, like he's holding him from behind, and then he opened his hands widely, okay? And then Zahir says, I turned around, and there was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hands opened out and stretched to me. Can you imagine? Have we become ashamed to show impression and empathy to others? This is a man and another man in the market. You're not talking about you with your little child. If this is what the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is doing with elders or men, not even an elder person, because usually you have the empathy for your elder or for your little ones, but with a man in the middle of the market, okay? Do you know the man that once went to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and told him, I love that brother walking there or that man walking there? The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told him, did you tell him? The man said, no. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told him, go and tell him. When you love someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go and tell them. It's a command from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Express your emotions and show your compassion. Allah created emotions so that you could use them and show them, not to be locked up behind harsh faces, as we do nowadays. And we feel like it shows as if you're weak if you go and express to others how you love them. So Zahir, back again to Zahir, he turns around and he found the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arms opened wide to me. That's what he says. And I wasn't happier with anything more than my body being against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body, because he hugged him. Like imagine you turn around and you find somebody opening their arms to you to hug you. SubhanAllah. And because he was so uptight, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will what? Try to loosen him up a little bit, okay? Because he's very rough. So he starts joking with him, which is a very good way that you as parents can use also with your children, okay? Joking and laughing with your kids can loosen up their expression and less, you know, this expressionless face that they have. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam held up Zahir's hand and held it up high in the market and said, "Would anybody like to buy a slave? Would anybody like to buy a slave?" And Zahir's not a slave. He's a free man, right? Who would like to buy the slave? And Zahir said, you know, and Prophet Muhammad started laughing. So Zahir smiled and said, "You wouldn't find a market for me, O Messenger of Allah. No one's going to want to buy me, you know. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants to talk to me." Salaam alaikum. I think we're good, right, ladies?
It's cold.
You're cold. They're cold. All right. I think it's cold when it's off and it's warm when it's on. So yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so he said, "Tajiduni kasidan ya Rasul." No one's going to want to buy me, okay? So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ looked at him and said to him, "But you are very worthy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." What is this beauty and the simplicity, subhanAllah, that can melt mountains of ice? You see how tough he was, but when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, just with this gentle touch or this hugging, he just softened him, you know, subhanAllah. And what I want to tell you as parents, something very important, and bear with me, it's not enough to love your children and show them the compassion. It has to be unconditional love, okay? How? You say what? If you're good, I love you. But if you're bad, you know what will happen. I'll give you 2 weeks of love, and if you don't pull yourself together, you know what's going to happen. Ship right away comes away. Or you know what comes out right away, right? If you don't do this, there's that. I'm going to give you a chance. This is wrong. Love has to be unconditional with our kids. Why? Because if your child feels that you are giving them love for something in return, and they're very innocent, and they have a very, very high, sense or perception, their perception is very high. You know, how they see things is very, it's not yet tainted with anything from outside. So they perceive things very clearly. If they feel that you're loving them in return for something else, it doesn't work. It has to be, "I love you because of you." You see, if you set conditions for love, they won't want it. They'll be more stubborn and they'll resist you. You tell them, "I'm going to love you, but if you don't do your homework, you know, I'm not going to talk to you. If you don't do this," it's always like a condition. You're always putting a condition. "If you do this, I'll do this. If you don't do this, I'm not going to do this." As if your love is because you have to do your homework, or as your love is because you have to get straight A's, or "I love you because you pray on time." You can't do that. That's not right. There was once a father who said, "I lost my son. Dealings between us have ended. We don't talk anymore. There is no communication. I no longer know anything about him." So it was said to him, the Sheikh told him, "Love him." He replied, "But I'm telling you, there's nothing between us. How can I just tell him I love you?" Okay, love him and tell him that you love him. So the father went and sat his child down and told him, "I want you to know that I love you, and you have to understand and always keep that in mind." And of course his son replied, "These things don't make a difference to me anymore. It doesn't make a difference." And a lot of our kids are like that, unfortunately, nowadays. And he walked away and he left him. The father went back to the Sheikh weeping. He said, "I cannot believe that he told me this." Imagine a father, alhamdulillah, imagine a father weeping, crying, you know, "This whole love thing didn't work." The Sheikh replied, "That's not true. The only problem is that your son doesn't believe you yet. You need to say it once and twice and three times. You need to be patient, and your son needs to be certain first that this love is unconditional. That you love him not because he's good or bad, but because he's a piece of you. He's carrying your name. You are from my flesh and blood. Even if I'm not happy with your actions, there is no way I cannot love you. I will continue loving you." He went back and he sat next to his son and he told him so. And eventually his son believed him. And his son returned to him, he says, "And till this day they're very close friends." How genuine are you when you tell your kids that you love them? We'll come back to that. We'll come to that further on. I know also of another father, and his son is it. We'll see the opposite now, how the father dealt. Because sometimes, subhanAllah, we kind of react just on first basis. We don't really think or analyze what we're doing, or think what kind of impact that will have on our children. We just kind of like go by the trend, how our parents raised us, and that's like, you know, we don't really use all of those ways, but there's always that bit of them in us. The way they were with us, there's always something, you know. The old-fashioned way, subhanAllah. I'm not saying it's always wrong, but some things, you know, we have to think about. So this father, assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? And his son was a senior. And the father, he was a professor in medical school. And the father's only dream, of course, is what? His son to enter medical school and take his, you know, his office after him and so on and so forth. And he spent money right and left tutoring his son. so that he may enter medical school. But the boy, you know, was used to fool around a little bit. He wasn't taking things so seriously, and he didn't get the grades to make him enter medical school. And he found out, and he went back home. Went to his room feeling very down, because he knew he let his father down. But the father was very wise. He walked into his son's room and told him, "You have to understand that I love you because you're my son. Whether you enter business school or engineering or medical, whatever it is, I will also love you. I love you because you're my son. I love you without any conditions. But please next time try to exert more effort. But wherever you go, whatever you study, I still love you." The man swears that his son succeeded unbelievably in the college. It's not medical school that he entered, but the college that he went in, he succeeded extremely, way, way above the boy's ability, subhanAllah, right? Just because of this word that he used with him, just because of this talk he had with him, one talk, subhanAllah. I love you with no condition. That's the main rule for tonight. I love you with no condition. There was a mother and her son was a drug addict. Another story I have to share with you. And things reached a very bad state, from hatred and belittling and eventually kicking him out of the house. From how shocked she was in the beginning, you know, that how could this be my son? This is my son that I raised. He's, you know, he's a drug addict. The mother went to a drug rehab and she started talking with the doctor. You know, she's like, what am I supposed to, you know, what do I do? How do I get him off of this? And what am I supposed to do? So the doctor asked her very simply, when was the last time you told your son I love you? The mother replied, when he was young. I mean, and unfortunately, if you look at our homes, majority of us parents, we give an unbelievable amount of love, compassion, and hugs and kisses till the age of, you know, say 10, 11, 12 tops, till 12, right? Maximum, maybe sisters who have older kids, till 12 maximum. And all of a sudden, we cut off, right? You feel that they've grown older, they have their own friends, their own room, their own everything, and you cut off right there. And let me ask you the same question the doctor asked the mother. If your child was in her teens or you know, his or her teens, when was the last time that you hugged him or hugged her? When was the last time you hugged your child? I hope it was like today or yesterday, a week ago, a month ago. Okay. When did you say I love you? Okay. When was the last time you got them a card in Eid and said from your mom that loves you or your loving mom? And you as the adult, when was the last time you told your parents that you love them? I hope you tell them, right? You'll probably tell me when I was six, right? Because I was a little kid. You know, how can I say that now? People would look at me funny, right? Are you embarrassed to tell your parents that word? Because, you know, that word could be that word that causes you to enter Jannah. Just expressing your love to them. It's not always easy to give the phone like, Mom, I love you. You know, like you have your own kids and everything. The language of empathy and compassion. The language of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So back to the story. The lady replied, since I knew he was on drugs, I never said to him, I love him. The doctor replied, can you please go back to him and tell him that you love him? This is the first step of getting back your child and making him quit drugs. But you have to say it genuinely and you have to feel it as you say it. Because he is your son, not because anything else. It doesn't matter what he's doing. He's your son, you have to love him. It doesn't matter what he's doing. She replied, but I won't be able to say it. How am I going to say it? I just kicked him out of the house. I'm cursing him. I'm praying on him like he's taking drugs. She said, you have to be able to because he is your son. The mother went back, she says, and we sat at the table for dinner. And she says, I sat looking at him for 15 minutes. And I couldn't utter the word. I just didn't know how to. I was like, how am I going to tell him I love him? Like, I have all this hate inside of me, all this anger inside of me, subhanAllah. You're the mother, though. You're the source of compassion. How can you not be able to say it? So she continues saying, he looked at me and told me, is there something wrong? Like, why are you staring at me, basically? She said, I kept trying to, you know, taking the niyyah or the intention that I will say it genuinely and really mean it. And as I started saying it, a movie of his childhood memories ran through my mind. Beautiful memories. And I told him, I love you. The lady swears, he cried and he got up and hugged her. He needed it, subhanAllah. He was thirsty for empathy and no one quenched this thirst. He was thirsty for his mom's embrace. Do you understand? Believe me, I have dealt with lots of teenagers. You know, that's what I've been, you know, past years, lots of teens, and they used to do the worst of mistakes. And I tried, you know, we try always the lecturing and yelling, this is the way to do it, this is not the way to do it. And the more I would do that, the more they would repel from me. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear like that, you know, you're better than them, you're higher than them, you're giving them that. And once I approached one of them and received that child's erring and mistake with a lot of compassion and mercy in a way that doesn't make sense. And I focused on my feelings, how I am upset, how I feel hurt, not how he's bad or what he did was wrong, no. And believe me, this is an amazing aspect you can use when it comes to compassion. Instead of focusing on your child's mistakes and errors, focus on your feelings. And this is scientifically proven, by the way. I am upset. I am hurt. I feel let down. What a shame. You know, I'm so hurt. I can't believe you did this. Me, right? I feel worn out. Don't mention you at all. Don't even say you did this. Don't mention that. Just focus on yourself, your emotions. Wallahi, this is a magical way. You have to try it. And I know some parents say, well, I have tried all these methods. Nothing works. My son is a dead end. I was like, oh, I'm upset from you. Oh, it doesn't work. They don't care. I have another method for you. So we first said express your love to them, right? Then we said focus on your feelings, not their errors. We said give them love, what? Unconditionally. Let me tell you another method. Paper and pen. Writing. Sometimes, subhanAllah, writing has a way higher impact than speaking. I read this story in a book, a mother and a father. Their son was in his late teens, around 17, and he just totally shut down. No communication, very short-tempered, very stubborn, doesn't speak much. You feel he has a lot of secrets kept in him, subhanAllah. And he can't bring it out. He doesn't speak. So they did something that was quite cool, and I think it's really effective. I'm actually thinking of, you know, not now, but I just think it's a cool way, even from now with my little kid. Alhamdulillah, we still have more control over them, but I think it's a good thing to start with them from now. Not on a continuous basis, but listen to this and then I'll tell you. So what did they do? They started writing him letters and leaving it under his pillow. And they wrote on it, read it when you're alone. And he was stubborn. So he went to sleep the first night, put his hand, you know, under his pillow. So putting his hand, he felt something. He pulls out and it says what? Read it when you're alone. So he wants to make sure his parents are not watching him behind the door. So he looks around, there's nobody. Because he could just say what? Oh, I didn't read it, I don't care. Or, you know, he becomes more stubborn. Okay, but there he was all on his own, you know, and he gently opens the letter and he starts reading. And I'll read to you what the parents said exactly, okay? It says, Ahmed, I understand that you're short-tempered these days, and I know that there are things that are bothering you, and I know that we're not completely aware of the details of your life or your privacies, but you have to know that both me and your mother love you immensely, and that this love will never be changed by any of your actions. If you feel you have a need to talk, both me and your mother are waiting for you. And if you have no desire to talk, there's no problem. We will still always love you. Your loving mom and dad, so and so. The author of this book is the boy himself when he grew up. Okay? Not the mother and the father who are saying this. It's the boy himself. When he grew up, he wrote this book. He was sharing, you know, his thoughts on it. The boy says, amidst my stubbornness, I used to wait for the letters under my pillow. And if 3 days passed, I would be so upset. And I would show them that I was more uptight and more short-tempered because it gave me inner peace and comfort. They used to talk to me about everything they wanted to discuss with me. And in the mornings, they never shrugged, you know, or nudged each other or looked or smiled or winked at each other or did anything that would embarrass me. But they would smile in my face and not mention a word about anything they said to me in the letters. He continues saying, I passed through my terrible teen safely because of these letters. SubhanAllah. Oh, Jazakallah khairan, thank you so much. And he says, I got married and had children. And that was the very first time that I ever brought up this topic with them. Imagine, he lived with them his entire teens. He went to college, graduated, you know, got a job, had children. And after he had his children, he went back to his parents. And he said, you know, finally, all the good that I am in now is because of what you did to me. Because of the letters that you wrote to me. SubhanAllah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. SubhanAllah. This is the boy writing this. And my question is to the youth, why do you leave things to get also that far or to that extent, or even why do we leave things to reach this extent with our children that we can't even discuss face to face? It's nice to leave now for now. It's nice sometimes to leave a note for them inside their lunchbox or a word of encouragement or something on their pillow if you're not going to be home when they come back. leave that, like have that channel open between them, you know. It's very nice, you know. I tried it last week with my kids. I left them something, and when I went home, I found my daughter wrote me something back, and it's really, really, subhanAllah, it does something to the heart. I don't know what it does, but it does do something. And I'm talking now even with our little ones. I'm not saying, inshallah, Rabb, we never have to reach this extent that we have to communicate with letters, but subhanAllah, you never know. If your child just shuts out, this is a way you could use, subhanAllah, you know, write letters. You never know what kind of impact. Maybe they're not going to listen to you as much as they will read a paper, you know. When they, so usually when we come to talk to them, they're kind of like, we're like background noise sometimes, because we're always lecturing them and we're always telling them what to do and we're always directing them this, do this and don't do that, but in a different way sometimes, different method, okay? Okay, so, and it's also important that you convey to your youth, to your children or youth, that they are the most dear things in your life, and you have to embody this, you have to show it to them. It can't be just saying, oh, you're the best thing in my life, or you're the dearest thing in my life. You have to prove that to them in your actions and in your ways, okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself teaches our youth through the story of the mother of Moses. I always keep on coming back to the mother of Moses, subhanAllah. It's like, it's a couple of ayahs in the beginning of Surah Al-Qasas. It's not that many, but so many lessons learned. Remember when we said, you know, in the middle, how she was hugging, remember last time we were saying, you know, she was hugging her son, but then she had to throw him into the river at the same time while she was nursing him. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentioned the fact of nursing amidst the whole issue that was going with Pharaoh and killing the men. And again here today we're going to talk about Moses. He says what, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادَ أُمَّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ. Her heart became empty when she had to throw her son into the river. Her heart became so empty that the pounding of her heart is like, you know, when you have something that's full, like a container is full of rice, when you shake it, you don't hear that much. But it, when it's empty and you put like, you know, one marble in there, it's pound, it sound, the loudest, you know, sound is so loud, subhanAllah. You know, her heart became so empty, subhanAllah, to, from over, you know, the ache that she had over her son, to the extent that she almost spoke out and gave it away and said, no, this is my child, you know. He would have been killed, but she was in such pain, subhanAllah. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? لَوْلَا رَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Had we not bound fast on her heart and met her steadfast, subhanAllah. And you see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about different nations or ummas, for example, when he's speaking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say what? لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهُمُ اللَّهُ أَوْ يُعَذِبُهُمْ. It's not, or in other words, it doesn't concern you, O Prophet Muhammad, what, you know, what's going to happen to them. Whether they're going to be forgiven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to allow them to repent, or whether they're going to be what? Punished, okay? You have nothing to do with it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever He pleases, okay? But when it comes to addressing a mother, right, this is in general, in punishment or reward with the nations, He tells Sayyidina Muhammad, what, it's up to us what we're going to do with them. But when it comes to a mother in the Quran, all right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a mother, He says what? Inna radduhu, like, you threw him away, surely we will return him to you. He had to comfort her heart. He can't just tell her, don't worry what's going to happen to him. Whether we want to forgive him, we'll forgive him. If we want to punish him, we'll punish him. No. Inna radduhu, like, we will return, surely I'm going to return him to you. Don't worry. This is a mother's heart. It's a compassion. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying little, very tiny words. You know, it doesn't matter what we will do with the ummah, but when it comes to a mother, no, we have to tell her. Don't fret. Don't worry. Okay? And subhanAllah, the days pass in the story of Moses, and amidst the great tension, you see in the ayahs between Pharaoh and the Moses, and things reaching their climax, like, you know, now he's like, you know, the magicians are coming, and he's cutting their hands, and there's all this hullabaloo going on, it's like such an intense thing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves everything again, and gives full attention amidst this to the mother's compassion, saying what? فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقُرُّ عَيْنَهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ. So we restored him. Amid all of this, an ayah comes saying what? So we restored him to his mother, that she might be content and not grieve, and that she would know that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Again, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the middle of such a big thing and a big fitna and people being killed and people being persecuted, He leaves everything and He comes back again to Umm Musa, mother of Musa. Don't worry, we will return him to you. We did return him to you so that you would have inner peace, subhanAllah. Contemplate while you read the Quran. How many times have we read the surah or the story? Never thought of it. I even never thought of it like that before, subhanAllah. I didn't think about it. And try to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting, what He is stressing on, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another surah, portrays to you the compassion of a father as well. It's not just mothers, but fathers as well. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, over his son who's a disbeliever. And after the waves parted between him and his son, Nuh puts up his hands and starts praying, Oh Allah, He's from my family, right? All right. And your promise is true. And that you said that you would save everybody from my family. And you're the most wise of all. You know, he's still making dua for him. Okay. Don't let him drown so I could speak to him once and twice and thrice. Maybe he'll change himself from being a kafir and come to being, you know, a believer. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he focuses on compassion of a mother and that of a father in a book that is to be read till the day of judgment, subhanAllah. This is what he's talking about. He's not talking about, you know, invading or jihad or no. He's talking about compassion and love of a mom and a dad. This is what our religion is about. You know, a lot of us just take the Quran from one side and don't look at the beauty in it, the beauty of dealings, humanity and being merciful and having the empathy in your heart. Now, another story, and I have to tell you this one, it's really, really, that really touched me. There was another mother in Egypt, and basically her son was also, you know, giving her, you know, when they hit their late teens, very hard time. And one day he decided just he's going to take off, and he headed to Hurghada, which is like a little like, you know, not state, kind of like a, you know, another city that's by the beach, and he started working there. And she sat for a whole month, both her and her father, looking for him. They didn't know where he was, until finally they found out that he traveled to Hurghada. So the mother took off after him, and she started searching for him everywhere. She started looking everywhere, but she couldn't find him. So what did she start doing? She printed pictures of him on posters and wrote it, "I love you, please come back." And she started placing it in every public place she went to, at, you know, the police, you know, spots where they do the, you know, checkpoints, you know, in entrance of restaurants, in the messages, everywhere she went, she put, posters of her son, "I still love you, please come back," okay? And one day he saw the poster and he wept. And he came back. But when he came back, he found their house door opened. So he was, you know, he's like, you know, what's going on? He thought something's happening in their house. He walked in and he found both his mom and his dad sleeping. He woke them up and he hugged them. And of course, they both started crying. He's like, you know, why did you do this and that and everything? And then after, you know, everything calmed down, he was like, why was the door opened? The mother replied, "The door has been open since the day you left. We feared you would return one day and you find the door closed and you'd be too embarrassed to knock on the door and walk away again." Now, I want to say something here on the side. I know it doesn't have anything to do with this, but I couldn't. If they as parents left the door opened for their son, how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's door? Do you understand now what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful on you than a mother's mercy on her child. His door never closes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the mother left her house door open for an entire month, and they could have been very robbed, you know, easily robbed, or even, you know, somebody could have gone and taken everything in their house, how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? "If you come to me in daytime, I'll accept you. If you come to me in nighttime, I'll accept you. Come to me at any time," all right? After anything you have done. And those of us who say, you know, "I've done so much, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept me?" Allah's door is always opened. Doesn't matter what you've done, or how bad you've been, or how bad you think you are, His door is always open for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always put that into mind. So what are we going to apply today? Are we going to start with empathy and compassion? Inshallah. Can we try to wrap this? I'm not telling you don't, you have to, of course, discipline your child. But try to wrap the instructing and the ordering and the commands with empathy and love. Believe me, it makes a difference. When you go and hug someone and tell them something versus when you point your finger and tell them, "Go do this right now." Big difference, subhanAllah. Try to wrap your words with love and compassion. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. Nothing's easy. It's not meant to be easy. We are on earth. We're not in Jannah. Inshallah, it's going to be easy. We're in Jannah. But here we have to work hard. We have to try, inshallah, right? And again, I'll come back to what we said before, to bring compassion into your home. In order for us to have compassion and mercy and empathy in our home, we have to worship together. Again, I'm going to keep repeating this every single time. We have to worship together. Worshiping brings empathy and love. Pray together, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put love and mercy in each other's hearts for each other. That's the only way. And again, remember the story of Sayyidina Ali and Fatima, when he told them, "What, sit together when you're in bed together at night and do tasbih 33, alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 33, together. Not you in your room and him in his office, or you, him, he's here and there, together with your children. Sit and make dua together, pray maghrib together." You have to. And if the husband's not there, or if you're a single mom, whatever it is, with your children, there's no excuse. You have to have something with those around you. Because with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down His mercies and His rahmat descend upon you. And it melts something in your heart. It gives you, subhanAllah, I don't know what it does, but it does something to your heart towards each other, how you feel for each other, subhanAllah. And I just want to add one last thing, and that is give your girls more affection. I know boys still need affection, but the girls need more affection. Why? Because they're all emotion. They're drama queens. That's how they are. Very emotional, you know, very, you know what I'm talking about, those of you who have girls, okay? And because what I fear, inshallah, this may never happen, but at the end, if they don't receive this affection from you, they might go looking for it outside, elsewhere. You have to satisfy that need that they have. Make sure your girls specific, girls and boys, but girls specifically, that they're, you know, you just shower them with your emotion, your hugs and your affection and talking and loving. Girls need that. And when you look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had an unbelievable compassion for little girls. And this is a Middle East community that used to what? They used to bury girls as soon as they were born alive. It was like a shame. Like, why should we, you know, we don't want a girl, we want a boy, subhanAllah. Once they put a colored cloth in front of the Prophet Muhammad when he was praying, and he said, "Move, please remove it so I can pray, it's distracting me." And another time people were fidgeting while he was praying, and he said, "Can you please stay still so I can focus on my prayer? I want to focus on my prayer." And the next day, he is also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the one who carried his granddaughter while he prayed. And he wasn't just praying, but he was the imam. Now, try to picture this with me. We're in the Masjid al-Nabawi, and now all the companions are there, you know, all the great companions, Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, Wa Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Bakr, like all the big companions, Mubashirin bil-Jannah, they're all there, right? And there's Bilal, he just got up and he gave the adhan. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks in, carrying his granddaughter, Bint Zainab, right? Daughter of his daughter Zainab. You know, and out of the question, you're going to think to yourself, okay, he's going to put her down now and he has to pray. No, he won't. He didn't put her down. Okay, so you say, okay, maybe he'll pray two rak'ahs and then he's going to put her down. He's the prophet, he's the messenger. He has all these great people praying after him. No. Okay, maybe her mother Zainab isn't there. No, Zainab was there and she was praying there too. This is a community that buried girls alive. And he had to show them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how precious little girls are. But how about the fidgeting? He was just saying, "I don't want any fidgeting next to me so I can focus on my prayer." Can you imagine now? He has a baby. You know how it is when you pray carrying your child? You carry them, and then you put them down, and then they start pulling, and then you pull them up. How much more fidgeting is that? But don't you understand the message he's trying to convey? How important little girls are? You see? And the compassion, subhanAllah, and the affection? This is not because I'm giving you an example, you know, it's not because I'm telling you don't fidget. No, it's not about fidgeting now. It's about a message to the ummah. Give affection to your girls, subhanAllah. Our girls are dear to us and need a lot of affection. And our boys are also very dear to us and they need a lot of affection. We have to start, inshallah, from today to try to apply this method. Just like last time we said we're going to hug and at the same time let go, all right? Trying, of course, I know it's not going to take a week to apply. It should take us like, you know, a couple of years, I understand. But inshallah, bismillah, if we keep practicing, hug and let go. Today, inshallah, try to love but unconditionally. And try to explain that to your kids. I love you because I love you. Doesn't matter if you went and spilled, I don't know what, on the floor or you did what. It doesn't matter. I still love you. I love you whether you get an A or you get a C or a D. I still love you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. And believe me, subhanAllah, it becomes a motive for them to make you happy. Because they know that you genuinely love them. And don't just say, "Oh, I love you." No, I love you. It's not easy, practice it. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us a heart. If emotions were haram or not supposed to be, we wouldn't have been given hearts. Right or wrong? But why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create our hearts? Yeah, of course, to put them, you know, put them in the right channels, the halal channels, but still, you know, in the right places. But they were there so that you can use them to show empathy, to show love, and to show care. And I think the most, you know, ones that are deserving of that are our kids. They are our amana, we're entrusted upon them. And we have to make sure, subhanAllah, that, you know, we raise them the right way and that we shower them with our love and keep them always, inshallah, near to us, inshallah. So as they grow, we're always there for them, inshallah. Wa sallam alayhi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Go home and love your kids, okay? Inshallah.